today, Psalm chapter number 1 in the Word of God today. For those of you who are visiting with us, once again, we do welcome you here to Cross Point Baptist Church, and we are so thankful whether you're just visiting from out of town with family and or you were invited this past week and are here with us. We just want to stop for a moment once again and say thank you so much for being here with us. As you make your way out, if you have not been by the welcome table in the back, please be sure to get back there, and we'd love to just get a record of your visit today, give you a gift from Cross Point. My wife and I also both will be at the back after this morning service, and we'd love to shake your hand and get to know you just a little bit better. I love that that song that Brother Ben just sang. Brother McCroney, I don't believe I've ever heard that song before, and so I was really in tune with the words. But I've often thought about, especially on Wednesday nights, we've been going through a series about seeing our Savior face to face. We talk oftentimes about God. We talk oftentimes about the things of God. We're Christians. We're saved. But isn't it an amazing thought that one day you and I are going to see our Savior face to face? If you're excited about that day, say amen. Now, maybe you're a little bit like me. Pastor Dan said it. You might be a little bit hoarse today. If you were at the game and or if you were watching live stream, some of you are probably throwing your devices across the room or cheering up and down there at the end. Some of our guys shooting free throws were about to give me a heart attack, but nonetheless, they pulled it out. And so if you're a little bit raspy, that's okay today. We can still rejoice and say amen. But I love that song, thinking about our Savior, seeing Him face to face. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Friend, you are missing out. When you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, my friend, you are living the best life here on this earth and also for all of eternity. And today we're once again going to be in Psalm chapter number 1. Over the last several weeks, if you're visiting with us, we've been looking at a series, A Journey in the Psalms. And we're just kind of in an expository type of way, been exegeting the Word of God, looking at, especially here in Psalm chapter number 1 and verses number 1, 2, and 3 over the last several weeks. And today we're going to dive into verses number 4, 5, and 6. So if your Bible is open to Psalm chapter 1, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word today? If your health allows you to, would you please stand out of respect for the Word of God? And look with me at Psalm chapter number 1 and verse number 4. The Bible says this: "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." This morning I want to once again look at this passage of Scripture and preach on a title, Living the Normal Christian Life. Living the Normal Christian Life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Savior, that we can come. Thank you, Father, that we can walk here and be in your house today and serve you and fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour that we just had. Lord, we can dive into your Word and in a smaller group type of foundation, we can talk about the things of God. Father, Lord, the message today is a little bit more difficult to preach, and it's your Word. You understand this. Well, the last several weeks, it's been encouraging. It's been uplifting. It's been a great foundation. It's for us. We walk out the doors and we're excited about the things of God and living the normal Christian life. But Father, things in this passage begin to change and turn. Lord, I've spent many hours in prayer, Lord, just praying that, Father, this would speak to a heart today. Father, I ask, Lord, that if there is one here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, may we approach this passage of Scripture and not skip over it and not be afraid of it. But, Father, may we pray, Lord, today for the conviction to be in this room. Father, encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And, Father, lift us up where we need to be lifted up. Father, once again, may we walk out these doors, not talking, Lord, just about the weather or where we're going to eat in the afternoon or what we got going on tomorrow. But no, Lord, may we pause today, walk out these doors, talking about the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ. Savior, we love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Over the past several weeks, we've looked at living the normal Christian life. The Christian life, as now we understand from verses number 1, 2, and 3, is a life that ought to be lived in such a way that is different from the world. Now remember, over the last several weeks, we've laid a foundation that oftentimes Christendom, when we hear these things, run to a set of man-made standards or preferences or our ideas or ideologies or what we think is the most important or what maybe we think is best or what we want at the top of the list. And now we comprehend from the Word of God that living the normal Christian life is not living a life that's based on religion or based on what everybody else thinks or what living by everyone else's preferences, but we understand there is going to be a separation, there is going to be a difference, but that difference is going to come in a natural way. It's going to come in an authentic way. If you've been in this series now and you want to know more about how to live that authentic Christian life, that normal Christian life, go back and listen to Sunday nights as we've been digging into the book of Galatians and looking at as the Holy Spirit fills our life and those things of the Holy Spirit or those things of God, then when we draw closer to our Abba Father, will begin to naturally be splashed through our life to others. That's why I love the verse, Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Over the last several weeks, we saw in verse number 1, the direction of a Christian. Verse number 2, the delight of a Christian. Our delight is not just in the things of this world, but our delight is in the very Word of God. In verse number 3, as we saw last week, we saw the definition of a Christian. That the promises of this verse are conditional. When we live separated lives, our souls will feed on God's Word, and we can expect several aspects to begin to define who you and I are. We saw the Christian's prominence in verse number 3. "And he shall be like a tree." I love that. A tree. That tree is separate. It's, if you're able to tell what it is, it functions. A Christian's permanence is planted. That means this. It's not uprooted easy. Now let me park right here, and I'm going to move super fast. So buckle your seatbelts here for just a moment. We have a baptism, so I'm going to try to get us out of here at a great time today. They said try to be done by 1:30. I'm going to shoot for that. Okay. A tree, what I love about it, it is planted. And when it's planted in the Word of God, no matter what comes our ways, I love a Christian that is planted in the Word of God because it's not uprooted easy. It's not uprooted easily. It's not a type of person that when they fall into trouble or things don't go the way, "Oh, that's it. I quit. I'm done. Let's get out of here. I knew somebody was going to hurt me. I knew church was going to do that. I knew these religious people were this and that." And all of a sudden we begin to give up. And to be honest with you, even as a millennial, I kind of despise the mentality of shallow Christianity today, that because we're not rooted in the Word of God, I feel like so oftentimes there are those who are giving up on their kids too easily, or their teenagers too easily, or their college students too easily. They're giving up on their marriages too easily. They're giving up on church. They're giving up on our country. They're giving up on, that's it. I knew it was going to be out, so we're done. No. What a Christian that is rooted in the Word of God, what it shows us is though no matter what you and I face in our lives, we're not rooted in preference, we're not rooted in religion, we're not rooted in what everybody else thinks, we're not rooted in culture, no, we're rooted in something that never changes. And aren't you thankful the Word of God never changes? Amen? Friend, it's a tree that's planted, but we also saw a Christian's position. It's planted by the river. After we're planted, it's our responsibility to draw from the resources of God's Word, the resources of a local church, the resources of our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thankful for a local church and a ministry, even here at Crossway Baptist, that has such a family atmosphere of love for each other and praying for each other and bearing each other's burdens. And it's amazing, as they said last week, as a family was here visiting and walked out and said, "This has to be one of the most friendly churches we've ever visited." And I am thankful for that. that. That is not, okay, let's have a secret club and everybody on Saturday, let's go over what we're supposed to do when somebody walks in. Smile, be happy, even if you're not, pretend like you're happy, and give them the best seats in the house. And I feel often, I really do, I try to talk to our overflow over here, and with, we're trying to do a little social distancing, so we got this open over here, but I try to include them. These are not the best seats in the house. Visitors come in, I'm like, they shouldn't be over there. Put them right here, you know what I mean? But we're not going over, and we're going to go through all this, and let's just try to be friendly, I guess. No, what I love about Crosspoint Baptist Church is authentic. There's something inside of us that desires to see other people be saved and baptized and discipled. We are planted by a river, and that river will never dry up. Then we see a Christian's productivity. The Bible says, and it will bring forth his fruit. The successful believer living the normal Christian life is a blessing to those around him because his fruit is plentiful. I love the verse in John chapter 7 and verse number 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You and I never know who is following our life, who is following our example, who is looking up to our marriage, who is looking up to our ability or our desire to serve our Lord and Savior. We saw the Christian's predictability in his season. And friend, once again, remember, it's not up to us to choose. No, the seasons of life that you and I go through, we have to give it to our Heavenly Father. There are seasons that are up. There are seasons that are down. There are seasons that are good, and there are seasons that are bad. It's why the Bible calls them the ebb and flow of life. It's an in, it's an out. It's a here, and it's a there. It's an encouraging time, and it's a discouraging time. But all that to say this, that you and I can't constantly look at everyone else's season wanting their season. I used the example last week that, look, I'm raising 5 kids right now, and we've been going out with a lot of folks in the church to get to know folks, and we're just at that stage. I got an 11, a 9, a 7, and 2 5-year-olds. We're not at where other people are, where their kids get up and they all get dressed and they're all ready to go and they all do their own hair and they can all bathe themselves and they're all just good. Let me tell you, we're out of the diaper stage. Let me just say this, praise the Lord, we're out of the diaper stage. But the stage that we're in right now, we're just not quite at the teenager stage yet. And some of you parents, I know, your word of encouragement is this, oh, enjoy it while you can. Boy, when they turn teenagers, shh, quiet, don't you dare tell me that. Looking forward to that stage. Let me enjoy the moment, okay? But I could go my entire life looking to another season. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. Oh, if we can only. We can only. And there are many in this room, the hoary heads or the gray heads, that you will tell a younger generation, don't wish away your life or your season. Enjoy the season that you're in. Even if it's a discouraging time or a downtime. We get it. I understand. We've all been there. But learn from that situation. And don't allow it to become a setback. Allow it to become one of the biggest comebacks in your life when you allow the Holy Spirit to move in that season that you're in. We also saw that his leaf shall not wither. A verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. His leaf also shall not wither. It's like those evergreens here in Indiana that aren't they beautiful right now, especially with snow last week, that they've got all of they're still green. It looks like a Christmas tree out there. It's a Leland cypress or whatever it is out there. It's always green. Understand, that ought to be us as a Christian. No matter what season we're going through, we are going to stand. You and I are going to be consistent in our walk with our Savior. We also saw the Christian's prosperity, that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Doesn't matter what stormy seas you and I go through, when we have our Savior with us, it's amazing that he's going to walk there, and many times, he's even going to carry us through those storms. We're going to prosper. I understand. Look, I get it. We look at 2020, we look at 2021, and very quickly we become discouraged or down, or maybe even election, however you voted. Maybe it didn't go your way. But you and I have to realize that in the end, we know where we're going to spend in eternity. If you're going to heaven, say amen. Then that should give a smile on our face right there. We know we're going to spend eternity. Well, I just can't believe. I thought I'd never see the day. Well, maybe you haven't read Revelation yet. It'd be a good place to start because nothing should surprise us in the world that we live in. Why do you think it comes so fast? Well, friend, the Bible says that a generation shall not pass. We know we are closer than we have ever been to the Lord coming back. And how many are looking forward to that day? Say amen. Amen. I remember when I was young. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I remember when I was young, the night before I was going to get married, Carrie and I, we were just about the night before. I remember this. I began to have just this, not second thoughts on the marriage. I was marrying the girl of my dreams. Oh, man, I was so excited. But I began to have this fear that God was going to come back that night. True story. I remember saying, God, I'm just begging you, don't come back. Give me a year or two. I want to be married. Now, not because of my marriage, but now because of the situation that we're in our country and around the globe. I'm just looking forward to the day, looking for that blessed hope when God comes again. We hear that trumpet sound and boom, we're called up out of here. And I tell you, wouldn't it be awesome just to be called up out of here? I wonder if it'll be a race, Brother Harvey. I wonder if you and I would be like, I got you, I'll beat you. And we're racing through the stars in the heaven trying to get there first. He'd probably win because I'm a little out of breath right now. Okay, then we see the destiny of the wicked. Now, number four, the destiny of the wicked. With verse number four comes some very strong contrast looking at the characteristics of the ungodly. We see, first of all, their instability. This is what the ungodly are like. The Bible says this, look at verse number four. The ungodly, watch it very carefully, right before that colon, the ungodly are not so. Everything true about the righteous man, he's stable as a tree, continual life and nourishment and fruitful and alive and prosperous. It's not so in the ungodly. It may seem often like the ungodly have these things, and sometimes it seems as though they have them more than the righteous person living the normal Christian life. But the Bible says it is not so. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 57, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters are cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. This is often a mistake that we make as Christians, wanting, or perhaps may I use this word, coveting, or maybe being jealous at what the world has. Oftentimes, college students and young people and teenagers, they'll turn on the TV and they'll watch, and they watch a movie, or they watch a sitcom, or they watch a show, and they become enamored, or they become in love with what they're seeing. They begin to be jealous or envious of whatever rich family they're watching, and all of a sudden they begin to turn it, and it's not bad to desire to have nice things, and it's not wrong to desire or to even have nice things. But may I say this? Oftentimes, if we're not careful as Christians, we begin to become enamored with what the world has, and that's our total focus and concentration. It's climbing the corporate ladder. It's the next degree. It's this, it's this, it's this, it's this. Meanwhile, we have not been living as a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. It's been years since we've witnessed to somebody. It's been years since we've told anybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We desire what we think is going to bring us happiness or peace in our life. And friend, may I just tell you this? Take it from the wisest man who ever lived. And the Bible says this, Solomon, the wisest and richest man who ever lived, have said, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. Watch this very carefully. All is vanity. Vanity means nothing. Everything in this world, everything that this life has to offer, can I tell you, friend? It is nothing outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, many times we look at the world and say, man, if I could just have this, if I could just be rich like them, well, then I would have peace. Can I just say this, friend? This world will never see real peace until the Prince of Peace comes. But you and I can have peace in our lives. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And you and I know who wins one day. Jesus Christ has already won, friend, when He conquered death, when His blood was shed for me and for you, when He cried out, it is finished, when they buried Him, and 3 days later He arose from the grave, friend. I'm just here to tell you, He and you and I have already won. We have eternity coming. Amen. But the ungodly are not so. Oh, if I could just have that. Boy, if I could just be like that. Boy, if I could just have, if I could just be that, then my chains will be broken. I'll be happy. Friend, can I just tell you, our chains are already broken. You and I are the ones that are living in true freedom. Now, wait a minute. Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's break it down for a minute. So why is it, Pastor, when people look at my life, they say, well, I get saved, but well, I'm just telling you, you got all these rules, you got all these man-made, you know, standards, and I could never do what you do. I believe sometimes it goes back to 3 weeks ago. We have so in our culture shown what we are against that people never see what you and I are for. Are we against some things? Without a doubt. I explained this several weeks ago. There are things that the Word of God says, and it doesn't matter what the government says, it's never going to be okay scripturally for a man and a man or a woman and a woman to marry. It goes against the very Word of God. Doesn't matter. Well, they want to redefine marriage. Congratulations. But God defined male and female thousands of years ago, and He's God. He probably knows better than you and I. If you heard that, say amen. Okay, but you and I, yes, we're against things, but you know, we're also, we're for some things. I'm for God's love. I'm for His peace, His happiness. Do we have standards in our life? Without a doubt. We all have standards in our life. Sometimes your standards and my standards may be different even for our families. But you and I have that freedom in the Word of God to have a boundary of protection for us. It's for our protection. I have a Holtz bear, 4 years old, I think. We have a standard poodle. Man, he is beautiful. I mean, he's AKC registered. He's got a great bloodline. I mean, he's a beautiful. For many of you, you've seen him because he's lived here on campus for the last 2 months. And the teenagers have really heard him because every Wednesday night he is howling like crazy up there. He's amening Pastor Blake. That's what he was doing. We have this dog, and he's beautiful. He's a great dog, super smart, very intelligent, and, well, I thought so anyways, but we just moved into our house this past week, and I told you last Wednesday, I'm just very concerned. Our house is done, but our yard is not. We have mud everywhere, like all that snow. I think we got 15 feet or something like that, 15 feet of snow. It all melted now, and we got all these puddles. And I'm not talking about little, you know, you little kids go out there and splash. I'm talking about, like, if you did that, I'd probably be gone. You can bury bodies out there. See me later. Now's your chance. I mean, you could just say, so I'm very concerned. So we took hay and put a lot of hay out there. So you got our back, got a 10 by 10 little block there of concrete. And then I put all this hay. Then I went up to Menards and I bought a black construction fence. I went out there, baby, and I put it all the way down. So when we let our dog out, he can only go to that 10 by 10. And then he's got this big space of all hay. I mean, good grief. He's a spoiled little dog, okay? But I don't want the mud coming in my house, is the true story. This morning, I let my dog out. And that dog went over, sniffed that fence, and in one leaping Superman bound, jumped over that fence into the mud. And I had to get saved again. Woo-hoo. My little 7-year-old daughter, London, was there, and we're both screaming at him. And that's when Coach Mark, I could tell my voice was not holding up. Bear, get it. It's like a 12-year-old going through, you know what I mean? And I'm like, Bear, get in here. And it's all crackly and trying to get him in there. And I finally get him in there. We're getting them all washed up. And the funny thing is that it really hurt him because he jumped over in the mud. And then we had to scrub because he's got paws and it's real thick. I'm scrubbing off. I'm just thinking, dog, why couldn't you just stay in the boundary? Then I begin to think. Sometimes we're like that poodle, aren't we? It just looks so green out there. It's got to be so. What's over that fence? Oftentimes, it's not just our teenagers. It's us as adults. We begin to think it's better on the other side. It's not. It's mud and it's dirt. It's gross. It's nasty. And oftentimes, it even brings scars back over. The Word of God is not a set of standards and rules that's legalistic and hurtful and bountiful, and God's up there and He's this big bully, you better live by Bible. No, what God's doing is He's given us boundaries that protects you and I. You see, it's not for us to look at the ungodly and, oh, that's what I want, that's what I desire. No, the Bible says about them, look at verse number 4, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Chaff was light enough that it could be separated from the grain by throwing it. You've seen maybe sometimes before done, scoopful in the wind and letting the wind drive away the chaff. This is how unstable, how lacking in substance the ungodly are. It was Spurgeon who said the ungodly are worthless, dead, unservable in their hearts, without substance and easily carried away. There's a huge difference between, watch very carefully now, a tree that is planted and the chaff that's just, that's there and then it's gone. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 14 that we henceforth be no children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning of craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. No, you and I, we've already seen in verse number 3, we are to be founded. We're not to be the chaff. We're not to be tossed to and fro. And so I'm thankful for the very Word of God that, hey, let me just be real clear. We meet in a deacon's meeting. We're not having a deacon's meeting coming up this Saturday and saying, well, I don't know, you know, something, the guy down the street, their doctrine changed. Think about it. Go that way, and I don't know, you know, the Bible's not real clear, so maybe you can lose your salvation, or maybe Mary really wasn't a virgin, or maybe Jesus did not really die. Can I just be honest with you? We're not having those discussions, because the Word of God has already been founded. You and I are not tossed to and fro like the unrighteous are, like the lost world is. No, you and I have the very Word of God. We have a more sure Word. We are founded in the Word of God. We don't have to be like those that we're here, we're there, and no, you and I don't have to be double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We don't have to live our life, should I do this, should I not? Yes, I think I will. No, I won't. No, I like this. No, I don't like this. I think I'll go here. No, no. It's not a person back and forth, back and forth. No. The Bible says you and I, we're going to have a mind that's sure. You and I are going to have a life that is founded on someone and something that has never changed. You and I, watch now. We're different from the ungodly. We're founded. We're not to live a fearful life. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Let me just tell you, science is always going to be changing. Have you noticed with COVID? It's always changing. Do this, and do this, and do this, and do this, and don't do this. And a month later, it's changed. It's science, it's science, it's science, it's science, it's science. Let me just tell you, if we lived our life by science, you and I would live a very fearful life. But friend, I'm just here to tell you, we don't have to live by science. We can live our life by the Lord Jesus Christ, who has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, fear this, fear this. Don't get in the car. Don't do this. I can't do this. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. No, it's different. Why? We have Jesus Christ who lives inside of us. It's so different. We're founded. The ungodly are like, it's gone. That's it. They live their life. It's done. Isn't that the total opposite of what we have seen the last several weeks? You see, it's the instability, what the ungodly are like, but there's also their inability. Verse number 5, what the ungodly cannot do. Verse number 4, the ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Look at verse number 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. You see that? Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The idea is, the context of in this scripture is that of the ability to withstand or endure the judgment of God. Unbelievers will face God in the great white throne judgment, but will not be able to stand its test. This is clearly shown to us in Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 11. And when the king came in to see guests, he saw there a man which had on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither having no wedding garment? He stood there speechless. And then said the king and his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm glad, friend, that today as I stand before you, I am saved. That means this. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I am so thankful that when I stand, my name is going to be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there is no eraser on that pen. When I got saved, friend, I am always saved. One day I will stand before my Abba Father and I will see Him face to face. And it doesn't matter what my accusers say. It doesn't matter what everybody points fingers. It doesn't matter how hard Satan tries, friend. I desire to hear the words, well done thou good and faithful servant. It does not matter, friend, how good you are in this life or how moral life you live. Outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says this, you are lost. Now, wait a minute. It's more than that. If you're lost and you slip into eternity, you will spend an eternity in a place called hell. Now, all of a sudden, it gets uncomfortable. Wait. I mean, can't we talk about heaven? Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about hell more than it does heaven. It's a warning. Friend, I think right here is a good time to pause for a moment and to ask ourselves, are we thinking about eternity? Well, yeah, I said amen. I'm going to heaven. I get it. Great. But what about those around us? I wonder if we often think about the atrocities of hell, how awful it's going to be. Well, Pastor, to be honest with you, I don't really like to think about that. Yeah, neither do I. Well, I'm thankful I'm not going there. There's a lot of people around me that will spend eternity there. And shame on Thomas Shepherd when he has the attitude, I just don't care. You see, there's nothing wrong with a high school basketball game. It's great. It's fun. It's wonderful. Oh, yeah. Played some good defense yesterday. Proud of you guys. DJ, awesome job. Yeah, great. Oh, we won state. Wonderful. Do you know the trophy, Coach Josh, that we brought home yesterday is one day going to burn up? Like, honestly, have you ever met somebody and they're in their 50s? And they're still living their high school basketball days. Oh, you should have seen me on the basketball court. My dad might be watching, so I don't want to pick on him too bad. But I'm telling you, the older my dad gets, the better he was at basketball. And I'm a little bit there too. Oh, Tommy, you should have seen me out there. But boy, I'm telling you. You know, we get better and better. Let's be honest. Shame on a person who lives their entire life looking backward at something that honestly, in eternity, who cares? I'm not taking away from our kids. Please don't walk in here. Oh, my kids worked hard. I get it. I loved it. I cheered there. I lost my voice. I love it. I love everything about it. But to be honest with you, in 10 years, these boys are going to be far, far removed from the basketball game that took place yesterday. But it's amazing what we think about and what we get our mind on. Politics will eat up our time. Facebook, Instagram. That show that we've got to get in. Oh, I've got to binge it. Oh, season 6 is finally out. Oh, I just can't wait to finally see what happens. I mean, it's just, to be honest, March Madness coming up. I think at times it's good to stop at a moment like this because there rarely may be not one person in here who's lost today. I can't see the hearts. I don't know. But to be honest with you, Dirk, there might not be anybody in here that's lost. Not one. So what do we do with a verse like this? I think we take it and we begin to chew on it. That, you know what, honey? We've spent a lot of time over the last week. We've thought a lot about moving, and we've thought a lot about our house. We've thought a lot about getting to basketball games and people coming in. And Brother Eric and Brother Bert came over and helped set up beds and hang pictures. We got to meet Dan. We got to get to this visit and this. And all of a sudden, we begin to lose focus of what the normal Christian life is all about. We're so hungry. Oh, my goodness, it's 11:40. I'm so hungry. A normal Christian life is this, thinking about, yes, let's head out to Cheddar's or let's head out to On the Border, amen, wherever we're going to go, and we get there, but we're thinking more than about food. We're thinking about the waitress or the waiter that comes up and takes our order. We're thinking about the testimony we're going to leave. We're thinking about not just walking away from the table. Well, they didn't do a great job, so I'm just not going to leave a big tip. Let's be honest, all of these things we ought to think about. It's a testimony. It's our God. There is a place called hell. And there's a lot of people who will go there.
Well, preacher, I don't like to talk about that. I don't like to think about it.
Okay, but we have to. Because you and I have been commissioned to go and to reach them.
Well, I'm not a missionary.
Yes, but you're saved. If you're saved, say amen. And we all ought to have it on our hearts and on our minds. All of us ought to have it on our hearts and on our minds. Nicole, are you in here? Nicole, where are you at? Raise your hand. You're working. Nicole, can you go grab some of those new tracks we ordered this past week? Just go grab a handful. Pastor Dan, bring them up here in just a moment. I want to show you something here in just a moment, but I want to continue on. We're almost done, but don't shut your Bibles just yet. Watch what the Bible says here. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. I'm almost done. Don't tune out. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Knoweth. It doesn't simply mean just to have knowledge of something. Okay, I know your first name, but I don't really know you. No, knoweth is deeper. It's often used in Scripture in a protective sense and refers to God's providential care and love, which includes the eternal security of the believers and His divine provision. It means that God looks out for the righteous. He's personal with us. That's why the psalmist wrote, O Lord, Thou hast searched me. Thou hast known me. Thou knowest mine down-sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest me of my path and my laying down, are acquainted with all my prayers. And there is not a word in my tongue that Thou art acquainted with in all my ways. O Lord, Thou knowest altogether that Thou hast beset behind me and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. I love the song that says, He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. That means this, if you're saved today, God is more interested in just kind of giving you this eternal security and, okay, you're good, you've got your fire insurance, okay, and just go live your life. No, God is interested in you and I. He knows us. He knows our name. He knows our families. He knows our thoughts. Even at this very moment, as scary as that may be, He knows our very thoughts. He knows when we go to bed. He knows when we're tired. He knows more than a doctor or a surgeon or an anesthesiologist what's going on in our bodies. You know why? He created them. That means this. God is very interested in you and I. And I'm here to tell you, that ought to put a smile on our face. Amen? He's interested in us. He knows us. But watch what the Bible says here. Watch what it says. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, the wicked, they're kind of these people that are here, and they're earth dwellers, and they're bent on getting everything they can in this life without a thought of eternity. Their way, even when religious, is the way of man. The flesh, it cannot stand before the righteousness of God. That means this, they fall short. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 14 says, And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Friend, if you're saved today, I'm thankful for that. And I love having brothers and sisters in Christ. But if you're not saved today, the Bible is very clear. you and I will spend an eternity in one of two places. Either a place called heaven or a place called hell. There is no other. Yeah, but I heard of a place called purgatory once. No, it's man-made. It's not true. It's not the Word of God. Well, I heard that I go to the dust and then, I might come back as something else. I'm really hoping when I come back, I'm kind of a president or king or mayor or something a little bit better. No, we don't come back, friend. It's man-made. We spend eternity in a place called heaven or we spend eternity in a place called hell. When you walk out these doors and you say, I just don't want to make that decision right now, you already made that decision. You chose. And friend, we don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. I'm 36 years old. I feel good. I'm in good health. I mean, survived a pandemic. Amen. I feel pretty good. I really do. I almost killed my dog this morning. But besides that, I feel pretty good. But do you know that God could take me to home this afternoon? He could. I don't know. God forbid. Take care of my family, but God forbid. But it could happen. In 2018, Carrie and I were hit by a drunk driver with all of our kids in the car. An underage drunk driver blew through a stop sign and hit us at 55 miles per hour. Just tell you, just a little bit further, I probably would have lost Lois. Just a little bit more on that side of that vehicle. It hit my side. It's a little bit more. Probably would have lost the child. You know what it made me do? Think about eternity. Yeah. Friend, the normal Christian life is always thinking about eternity. Now wait. I'm almost done. Now watch. We got time. Just watch. Because here's what we do. We turn it into a chore. Oh, yes, Pastor. That's good. Okay, so we need more visitation times. So if we could do Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Not Wednesday night. We have church. Thursday night, Friday night. Saturday morning, Sunday after church, let's just visitize this whole place out. We need more. Okay, but you see how we make it into religion real quick? Well, then what we need is, we've just got to, I don't know what to do. We got to pay up, we got to do this. Let's just mark it down. I'm so stressed out. I'm going to try to give 2 tries today. I missed yesterday. Okay, so I can have 4 today. And I didn't go out because there's 50 feet of snow. And so I'll do 6 tomorrow. And all of a sudden, we start making it into this. We're stressed out. I'm sweating thinking about it. It's this chore. No, that's not the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life is, it's just every day. Amen. It's part of life. Hey, I'm a mechanic. Can I get a gun in my car? Hey, thank you so much for working on my car. Hey, just want to give you this invite. It's one of these new track. It's got a picture of our pastor on there, and it's actually not a bad picture. I wish I'd have brought my chin down a little bit, but nonetheless, I'm gonna work on that, Debbie. Okay, and here's the track. Hey, you know what? I'm at a gas station and pump my gas. Hey, sir, how are you? Can I help you pump your gas? Oh, you're good. Oh, you want me to? Okay, well, let me pump it and put that credit card in for you. Goodness, Pastor Defoe, calm down now. Hey, get down, Papa. Hey, just want to tell you, just want to give you this, just to invite you to church. We got a great church. Man, I'm telling you, we're going to get our choir back real soon. And we got a Sunday school class that you'll be in my Sunday school class. Your family will love it. Your grandkids will love it. You got to do it. You got to come. Hey, how are you? So great. Wonderful. You're doing our taxes this year. That's wonderful. Bless your heart. Goodness. Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for doing our taxes. Hey, just want to tell you, I go to Cross Point Baptist Church, and we'd love to have you. You could sit right up there with my wife and I. We'd love to have you there. If you got a church home of your own, we don't want to take you from that. But if you're ever over in the area, it's 220 Country Club. It's near like something. And anyways, come, okay? And see what we're doing. We're just living the normal Christian life. See what we're doing? This is not a chore. This is not. Let me write it down. Let me put in a checklist. Nobody get mad if I don't give you one. I'm just going to certain people, okay? Oh, didn't give me one. Okay, but look. It's living the normal Christian life. There's a ton of these. I don't know how many we ordered. I like the track. I liked what was on the inside. It's got a map on there. It's got a family. Nicole, this is nobody from here, is it? These kids. So don't get mad. It's not the pastor's kids, okay? So it's just nobody we know is in there. But it's got a little map in there. Hey. What you come? What are we doing? It's the normal Christian life. Do you know that somebody, Brother Jim, may get this? You know what they may do? It's okay. You know what they may do? Look. That's okay. No thanks.
Well, see if I care. Good luck in.
No. We do our part. Somebody may get upset. Crumple it up. They put it in their pocket because they don't want to litter. They have a bad day. Guess what's in that pocket? They get it out. Good news. Could use some good news. God so loved the world. He loves me. Nobody's ever loved me. Maybe they take that track and they get saved. Cross Point, let's never make the Christian life a chore, a burden. It's freeing. It's lovely. It's beautiful. It's amazing. But let's not forget, there's people who are dying all around us.
Yeah.
Marion County doesn't need a country club, a 220 country club. They need a lighthouse.
Amen.
How are we going to do that? We can't run buses. We can't do this. Can't get out. Can't door knock. Nobody wants anybody on the doors anymore. Oh, we're done. Christianity's done. Hear the trumpet sound. Come on. Hurry up. Let's go, Lord. It's over. No. We just live our normal Christian life.
Amen.
We tell others.
Yeah.
Take it. This will change your life. Not because of this, but because of Him.
Amen.